Father, thank you that you're a God who reveals yourself supremely in the person of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus, the living Word. And we thank you for this written Word that we have open in front of us, the Word of God. And thank you for the Spirit of God who explains the Word of God to us. And thank you for gifted Bible teachers who help us understand what it is you've written. So we thank you for our brother Freeman. We pray you would anoint him afresh with your Spirit as he speaks to us now. Lord, that you would open our hearts and open our eyes and open our minds to understand the things you want us to hear from you this evening, so that Jesus will be glorified here amongst us. And in his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good evening. Can you please hear me? Thank you. Tonight, it's an honor to be here, privilege to talk with the sanctified brethren once more. And I was given the topic to speak on, and the title of the message is, How Do People See Us? Or How Others View Us? This is something very important, or it is an important question to ask in one's life if you have never thought of it. In the sense that we have people around us, but do we care about them? Do we think about them? Or we just move in life without knowing who we are or trying to find out what those people think about us? What is their perspective? How do they make, what meaning do they come out with when they look at us, the way we behave, the way we interact with them, or the way we move day in, day out, meeting them, sometimes not even greeting them, showing love or showing unlove. So I think, in my opinion, it is something very important to us in life. Businesses showcase their wares, and some businesses do advertisements, or they advertise their goods, their businesses, and other companies also do branding, and then others go on doing different forms of activities, aiding charities, charity organizations, helping them one way or the other. All this in attempt to send a message. But for us, it is also important to also look at certain things, or what kind of messages we send across to people, by asking ourselves, who do people think we are? In Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, our Lord Jesus Christ, as he was walking with his disciples on Caesarea Philippi, he turned to them, he asked them, who do men say I am? This is why I think it is very important. If the Savior, the Lord of my life, asks such question, it means there is a reason behind it. It is important. I think he was trying to find out whether his mission on earth, his message, the reason for coming, is actually working, or people know him for the reason for which he came. This is what he's trying to find out from the audience. And from the perspective of other people, he wants to know whether they are actually getting the message that he is the Messiah, he is the true God through whom every man must be saved. Because he didn't ask this question at the start of his ministry. After working for some time, then he asked this question. And our dear brother Apostle Paul also asked the same question, or similar question. He put it to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, as one of the criteria or quality when deciding to choose an elder. He said, among many other things, one of the criteria that Timothy should look for is that the person who should be qualified should be a repeated person among others, or with others. Not within the church, outside the church. So Paul admonishes Timothy that this elder of yours, or whoever you want to choose, you must make sure that he fulfills this criteria, that people who are not Christians, people who are not believers, people who are not in the church, they see him as someone who is repeated. What a challenge. Because how many people outside will speak well of you anyway? But this is one of the criteria Apostle Paul was looking at. So having looked at this as a form of introduction, I am going to go on to unfold what I think answers this question, how others view us. I'm offering a short prayer. Father, once again, we give you praise, glory, honor. Open the eyes of our understanding, because without you, we will be lost. Without you guiding us and teaching us and explaining anything, everything, we know nothing. Spirit divine, do what you have assigned us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, if we look at this chapter, 2 Corinthians 3, Pastor Paul read from verse 1, but I'm actually working on the verses 2 and 3 only. And if you look at it, this is where I'm going to actually handle my message from. But let's put that aside. I want us to look at the word ecclesia. It is a Greek word which means church. And it refers to believers or followers of Christ, which we call the called out ones. Ecclesia, a Greek word, which means church, and is referring to what we call the called out ones. Called out from the powers or society of darkness into the dear kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Christians or believers are people that have been called from darkness into light. And this word ecclesia appears about 114 times in the New Testament. It appears about 114 times. So it means this word called out once appears in the New Testament of the Bible about 114 times. And as it appears in those instances, there are four main senses for which it appears. And I will quickly rush through them. Matthew 16, the verse 18. Ephesians 1, the verse 22. 1 Timothy 3, the verse 5. All these instances, it was used to refer to the body of Christ worldwide. It was used to refer to those called out ones all over the world, which we call the body of Christ. Two, it depicts the local congregation of believers. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, Revelation 1, 11. So whenever you read these verses, it tells you that it's actually talking about ecclesia, which in that sense is talking about people of a local congregation like ours, as we are gathered now. Another one is, it is used for God's people in a special or specified region, according to Acts 9:31. The ecclesia was used, but the sense in which it was used to specify God's people in a particular region. Another sense in which ecclesia was used, it was used to indicate a group of the Lord's people assembled for worship. The people who just gathered for worship, either in a house, anywhere, but they are called out once, gathered for purposely to worship the living God. These are the four main senses for which the ecclesia was used. But then it means the called out ones, the saved ones, those that are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But it has a symbolism. It symbolizes also the temple, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the verse 16. So when we are talking about the called out ones, which is you and me here together tonight, we be called from the power of darkness into the power, into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of light. However, it symbolizes that we are the temple of God. Temple without windows and doors. Temple not like a structure like this one. So why I'm mentioning this 1 Corinthians 3:16 as symbolism, I'm not talking about this chapel. Because when people pass by, they look at the windows and the door and this beautiful chapel as a structure, which doesn't move. But a temple that moves, which is you and I, we that are gathered today, this call at once. So your body and my body is that temple of God that God has called us from the darkness to the kingdom of his son. So you are God's temple, I am God's temple. This is what I'm trying to talk about today or tonight, not this building. There is a song we normally sing that it is not the windows, the organ, the chairs, and then everything that's here is a temple. But we are the temple. If you remember that song. I don't know the words so well, but you know it. Probably. Believers, listen to me tonight. You are God's temple. I am God's temple. But the key issue is, what do we do with this temple? As God's temple, we must know who we are. So who are we now? We are the called out ones. We are God's temple and Christ's body. Or Christ is living in us. We are also God's workmanship. According to Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created unto Christ Jesus for good work. So as temple of God, we've been created to do good works. And there should not be any other alternative. Just good work. And as we've been called, or so we are. And this ecclesia, which symbolizes first the God's temple, like I mentioned earlier, it also tells us that we are be saved. But saved for what? Saved for a tax. There is therefore a mission to be fulfilled. Like Jesus asked them who people think he is, he has a mission. Because he started the mission, and somewhere along the line he posed that question. So for us, you and I tonight, we have a mission, an agenda. God's mandate is there. We need to fulfill it. As we come together as temple, we must recognize that God has put before us a mission which we must work with. And this mission is that we must uphold the moral standard of the world. You know, when we are saved, God did not move us from the world to create another town or a village for us. There are times you think or you wish that happens. When situation engulfs you and you see people who do not know the Lord, do not believe the Lord that you believe, and things are getting out of hand, you say, Lord Jesus, come quickly so that we go. Or you feel that, if God had created another town or another space for only believers, and then unbelievers also in another town, that would have been great. That is our thinking, but we are wrong. Because of the mission, this is why Jesus, after saving us, did not separate us from them, putting us in another town or creating another world for us. The mission must be fulfilled. In this world, there is what I think God's part and man's part. God plays his part and men must play their part. Angels play their part and men must play their part. Angels come to minister to us, bring messages, but they are not expected to witness to other human beings or fellow human beings like you and I. You and I have been saved for a purpose that we will be able to reach out to fellow human beings. The mission is that we should be in this world, and according to Matthew 5, the verse 13 to 16, we are to be the illuminative and preservative agent. We are the light of this world. So if, assuming Jesus takes us away after saving us, The people, they are in darkness, they will still remain in darkness because the light has been taken away. If we turn off this light now, there will be darkness here. So you and I, we were in the world and we were in darkness. But when Jesus saved us, the light came into us. And if he takes the lamp away, which is us, then those people will forever be in darkness. So the mission is that he left us in there so that we can shine unto them. We can be the light that will shine so that they can see the light. We are to preserve what we receive from the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've been called as called out ones, so that we can be agent of the Lord, so that fellow human beings will also be saved. And this calls back to this verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the verse 2 and 3, which I'll quickly take. It says, "You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart." Paul is actually saying here that the call at once has been prepared, has been taught, things has been deposited in us, which causes us to change. Now that we are changed, as we go out, it's not a letter. Physically, as we go, people must see the change that is in us. If we were quarrelsome before Christ bought us with his blood, as we come to the house of God, being taught, being nurtured, being mentored, reading the word of God, praying, we grow from one degree of glory to another. And this must be seen by people outside. But if the people outside still see us the same, it means nothing has happened. So Paul is saying that if the people outside wants to know or will come to the Lord, it will depend on you and I. If we have not changed and we are who we are, people outside don't know who we are. They see us as people who have not seen the Lord. It will never convince them to come to Christ. Who do your neighbors, people in your workplace, think you are? Bible calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So if we are priests, where is your ministry? Where is your office? Where you minister, your church? It's outside. Brothers and sisters, we spend 2-3 hours in church, but the greater part of our life is spent outside the church. In our secular world, in our houses, in the street, in the market, in every place where other people who do not meet with us, that's where we spend it. That is where we are supposed to be priests, to impart them. And I believe that if God is going to judge us, he won't judge us about the hours we spend in church. He will judge us depending on the hours we spend outside. Because in church, we look nice and we are cheerful to one another and we do all kinds of things. We drink coffee, we share bread, do everything, and we sing great songs and dance. But just a few hours later, we are something else outside. You'll be surprised to see that even sometimes we that have gathered here tonight, We will go out less than an hour. We see one another. We pretend we don't know them. If we treat fellow called out ones like this, how do we reflect or how do we treat people who do not know the Lord at all? If that is our character, then people in our neighborhood, people in our workplaces, people in the buses, people in the street market and everywhere will see us as such, will see us that we are not friendly. People hear God is love. How can they know God is love if we do not demonstrate such a love outside? God heals. We meet people and then we don't even think that we want to pray with them. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. We shout and then say all this in church. But if God is good, what about that homeless person? Have you thought of giving one of your dresses out? Or just have a nice meal parcel and give to that homeless person on the street? Who do people think we are? Jesus said, on that day I asked you, I was sick and you visited me not. So that person who knew that you have two mantles or two jackets, but he has none and is feeling cold, but you do not let one out, will see you that you are not carrying the love of God or the love of Christ. The people outside, probably our churches are not growing because we don't demonstrate what we hear. Paul is saying that we are his letters. So when preachers, teachers, elders preach and teach, is it that we just hear and say this is a nice sermon and then after the door that ends it? Are the messages imparting our life? Are the messages changing us? If they change us, it will reflect outside. People will see us. It will be seen in our doing. Then the people will take and look at us in that perspective. Can you imagine when you take the mirror to look at yourself and then you are not wearing a hat? Then, but as you look into the mirror, you look as if there is a hat on your head. Can you imagine looking into the mirror and then you find out that your shoe is on your head? It will look strange to you. You say, that's not me. Something is coming to the mirror. So the mirror is telling you how that mirror is seeing you. So that neighbor, that friend, that co-worker, that seller in the market sees us differently. But we think we are Christians. We are called out once. We have been called from darkness. So we don't do what they do. But yet in most cases, they bring the fashion, they do things, and we copy them, we follow their footsteps. Some of the words they say, we have been bought, we are in light. But some of the filthy words also, we also say it, we use it. So because we do the same thing with them, they don't see the change. That neighbor, that person will see us as people who are so filthy. They will never think about us as people who have moved on. I had the opportunity to talk to few people to ask them how they think about church. They have different view. And this evening also when I came, I walked on the street to ask few people how they think about church as well. And some of the answers, I think we need to do something. Some even went to say that religion is good, but we Christians, we call out once, we are the cause of all problems. We create the problem. Some people say, oh, Christians are good, but of when they say Christians, I refer to it as ecclesia, the call out one, the follower of Christ. So they have different views about us because of a Christian they might have met. When I was not a believer, when I was not a believer, I had a girlfriend, and then the elder sister was a born-again Christian. But as I assessed her behavior, it never moved me to go to that church. She causes abortions a lot. She drinks alcohol and moves around. But my understanding, whilst not at the time I wasn't a Christian, is that those sort of acts belongs to we or those in the world. Because causing abortion amounts to killing. This, if you don't understand, when we close, please come and explain. According to Jeremiah 1:5, better we explain. So this is the way I look at that church. But long after I became born again, coincidentally, that was the very church in which I got born again. And the first day I went into the church and I heard a sermon. You know, Africa is hot. There was fun, but I was sweating under the fan. Why? Because the sermon was hitting me. Then I realized that was the character of that lady. So as we sit here tonight, believers, our character might be driving or stopping someone to come to Christ. But if we sit down to analyze and assess ourselves and ask, who do people there think we are? Who do other people think we are? Then you begin to work on your life. You can be sincere to yourself and check things and be able to put things in right perspective. So my answer to the title of the sermon is that as believers, we must not only think of ourselves, but we should also think that people are looking. People want to see whether this born-again business or this following Christ is real, is genuine. Is there something in there which has changed this person? If it is, they would like to come and have a taste. Without preaching to them, without saying anything, your life can be a letter written to that person in the neighborhood or anywhere. So people must read us so as to make godly choices and better decisions. People are making wrong choices and wrong decisions in this world, probably because of you and I. But if we change, things will change. These are people who do not come to our meetings. And God is love. So they must know that God is love through us. Jesus said, if I, the Son of God, I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. The way we can lift Jesus up, one of the ways, is to show our true identity. Because when you ask that question, you are talking about individuality and fine-tuning of your core. We are individuals here, and everybody's fingerprint is unique. So God's call upon your life differs from mine. But we have a mission. We've been called, we've not been separated from the world, we are still in the world, including people who do not even think that God is there. They do not believe in the existence of God. The reason being that we should impart them. They should look at us, read us, that, oh, this person was like this. But after meeting Jesus, there is a change. There might be something good there. There is something important in that. And if we do that, and we try to work on our life, so as to demonstrate to the world that God is love, the world will change. The world will be a better place. Our churches will be full. We'll have more people saved. Every human being on earth has been created by God. But unfortunately, not everybody is a child of God. John 1:29. They should also be children of God. If you cannot preach or witness to people, our character, our attitude, our lifestyle will speak to them. It is a letter, not on a tablet of stone, not on any booklet, not written anywhere, but on our heart. What is on our heart will come out. Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is on our heart, what we've been taught in our meetings, in our churches, should surely come out good to reflect Christ, to reflect Christ, to bring people to the kingdom of light. God bless you for listening.